And good singing tonight, church, and good singing all day long. And I appreciate a singing church, amen? And thank God for it. All right, let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to Acts chapter number 16. Acts chapter number 16 tonight. Acts chapter number 16 and verse number 29. We'll read our text here. One of the most exciting happenings in the book of Acts is here in Acts chapter number 16 and verse number 29. The Bible says, "Then he called for a light, sprang in and came trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' They said, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house.' And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and he washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into the house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God, with all his house." I want to look tonight at what happened here in the Apostle Paul's life. And sometimes we read the Bible and we separate ourselves from Bible characters. These individuals, we sometimes, if we're not careful, we will think, Brother Justin, that these men and these women were special. Not special ed, but special, amen? I mean, we think sometimes that they had a level of Christianity that you and I cannot have, but can I remind you tonight that you and I have the same God that they have? And tonight we have a full canon of Scripture. We have a completed King James Bible. We have the same Holy Ghost tonight that these people had, these individuals had. And so I want to look at this text tonight, and I want to preach on this subject on how to have converts like that. How to have converts like the Apostle Paul had. I want to see here what happened, because if we look here at what happened to this converted Philippian jailer, we must understand that it's not really that hard, if you want to put it that way. And by the way, the Christian life is not hard, it's impossible. You cannot live the Christian life outside of the Holy Ghost living it through you. But we complicate it so much. And so, let's look at it here tonight. There's some converts in the Bible that make you and I stop and say some things. Would you not agree? I mean, we read things, and one of the things that I like about the Bible is when you read these salvation stories, they all got saved by the same person, the Lord Jesus Christ. They all got saved the same way, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, but it varied a little bit. There wasn't different ways that people got saved, but you understand that it doesn't all look the same. It looks a little bit different. And so, my question tonight is this: how did Paul have converts that like this man did, the Philippian jailer? The Philippian jailer, if you'll notice here in the text, and we're going to dissect it here a little bit, this man was not looking for God. This man tonight, he was not sitting in a church service. He wasn't reading a Bible like the Ethiopian eunuch was. He was not searching out a preacher. He was a hardened Roman jailer who had been given a job, and that was to keep the prisoners in the prison. That was his job. Keep the prisoners in the prison. But God, I like those two words, amen. But God had already arranged a divine appointment. You see, there's always an unseen hand working that we cannot see. And Paul and Silas, they had been beaten. They were bleeding. They were locked up in this inner prison. Their feet were fastened with fetters and with chains. And yet the Bible says, at midnight they prayed and they sang praises unto God. And you know the story. It's the original jailhouse rock. Amen. I mean, listen, God shook the prison, the doors opened, The chains fell off. The jailer woke up thinking all the prisoners had escaped and he's about to kill himself. You know the story. And Paul cried out, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Ain't none of us left." Then the Bible says the jailer came in trembling and he fell before Paul and Silas under Holy Ghost conviction. He asked the greatest question that a person could ever ask. "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And Paul, you know what he did? He gave him the gospel. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, what happened? The man believed. He said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." And not only did he believe, the Bible says his whole house believed. His whole house got saved. And that night, a jailer became a believer. And so here's the question that you and I might have tonight when we read this. How in the world did Paul have a convert like that? But not just that, how can you, as the East River Baptist Church, have a convert like that? The answer tonight is not that Paul had some kind of a special gospel that we don't have today. The answer tonight is not that he had some kind of different power and he had some kind of different access to the power of God. He had the same gospel. Brother Bo, he had the same Savior. He had the same Holy Ghost that he was dependent upon. And you and I tonight have the same access that Paul had to the same God that Paul had in Acts chapter number 16. So I want to look at it tonight. If you want to have converts like Paul had in Acts chapter number 16, you're going to have to do what Paul did. So what do you do? Let's look at it tonight. I'm going to give you some things very quickly. Number one, it's not deep, by the way. Maybe some of you are thinking, "Well, this has got to be deep, man. I ain't never heard this before." It's not going to be something you hadn't heard before. It's going to be something that you're like, "Man, really? That simple?" Yeah, that simple. Number one, if you're going to have converts like that, number one, you got to be in the will of God. Would you not agree with that tonight? Acts chapter number 16, look at verse number 6. Let's back up here and see what happened here in Acts chapter number 16 before he got to jail. Acts chapter number 16 and verse number 6, the Bible says this, "Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit," that's the Holy Ghost, that's the Spirit of God, "suffered them not." He would not allow them to go. "And they passing by Mysia came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia, and he prayed, saying unto him, 'Come over into Macedonia and help us.'" Verse 10, "And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them." You see, Paul was not in Philippi because it was his idea. Paul was in Philippi because, as we just read there, God redirected his life. Paul had one plan, but guess what? God had another. Did you know God will wreck your plan to get his plan done? Amen. Acts chapter number 16, verse number 9, the Bible says there that's that great Macedonian call that we talk about, "Come over into Macedonia and help us." And thank God for a man like the Apostle Paul who was willing to change his plans because he wanted God's will more than his own will for his life. How many of us, many times, we want our will to be done? We say to God, "Lord, not thy will, but mine be done." Oh, may we pray, "Lord, not my will, but thine be done." You cannot have God's appointments while insisting on having your own itinerary. God will take your itinerary and he will change it. He did this with the Apostle Paul. Paul could have gone somewhere else. He wanted to go. You know, people say, "Well, you just go preach the gospel anywhere. It really doesn't matter." Now, understand what they're saying. We are called to go to the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Go, you know, all the world. But there is a specific will of God for your life. Because right there in the text, the Bible says that the Holy Ghost said no. He said, "I'm going to Asia." And the Lord said, "No, you ain't. You're not going to Asia. That's not where I want you to go." You say, "Well, people in Asia need the gospel. I mean, is God a racist? He don't want to get the Asian people the gospel?" No. He's just doing something you don't understand at the moment. And he wants you to be in the perfect will of God. Paul could have gone somewhere else. He could have preached somewhere else. He could have followed his original plan for his life. But there was a man in Philippi. Paul hadn't seen him yet. He had not met him yet. But behind the scenes, God is working. There's a man in Philippi who needs the gospel, and God's will put him in the right place. It's kind of like a GPS, you know. You turn the GPS on, and if you want to get to a specific place, you know what you have to do? You got to follow the GPS. Now, all day, you could type in Pensacola. Brother Dwayne took Sierra to Pensacola. They could have typed in Pensacola today. Started driving, what, southeast? What if Brother Dwayne, the GPS said, go southeast, go down this way right here, and Brother Dwayne said, don't really matter. I mean, all roads are good roads. Might as well just go wherever we want to go. And he started driving northwest. You know where he'd run into? Probably Pastor, eventually. He wouldn't make it. He wouldn't make it to the destination. And God has some detours for your life many times, but they're really not detours. We see them as detours. But Brother Terry, God's detours many times are God's divine appointments for somebody else. You can't see it in the moment, but boy, if you could ever see it with your spiritual eyes. God, give us converts like that. If you're going to say, Lord, I want some converts like that, you're going to have to say, God, put me where you want me to be. So number one, you got to be in the will of God. Would you not agree with that tonight? Number two, if you're going to have converts like the Apostle Paul, not only do you need to be in the will of God, number two, you've got to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost. You see, Paul in verse number 6 and 7, he had to know God's no before he could know God's go. God said no. And maybe somebody else said, Paul, you need to go over there. And the Holy Ghost said no. You ever been there in a conflict in your heart? You want to do something? Somebody else wants you to do something? You know what I found out? You better find out what God wants you to do. Because people have a will for your life. They'll tell you what the will of God is for your life. You better be weary of somebody that comes up to you and says, God told me to tell you this is the will of God for your life. You know what I found out? If God wants you to do something, you're the first person He's going to tell about it. Amen. He had to know God's no before he knew God's go. In verse number 6 and 7, they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost. You say, who forbid them? The Holy Ghost did. God talked to him. Paul wanted to go to Asia, but the Holy Ghost said no. He wanted to go to Bithynia, and again, God said no. It's like, Lord, where do you want me to go? I try to go here and you say no. I try to go here and you want me to, and you say no. Where do you want me to go, Lord? But you just slow down a little bit. When you don't know what to do, don't do nothing. Just stand still and wait on the Holy Ghost to speak to you. Paul had to be sensitive enough to recognize the voice of the Holy Ghost. And you know what? It's a still small voice. Very rarely does the Holy Ghost yell like some of us loudmouth preachers. Amen. Now, he can take a loudmouth preacher and whisper in your heart, this is the will of God. That's why we got to get rid of some of the trash noise in our life, because we can't hear the still small voice because we have too much trash noise. You ever notice people have so much noise going on in their life? They got earbuds in, pods on, video games, TV, radio, podcast, Spotify, whatever else you want to say, amen. I mean, there's constantly noise going on. Somebody talking, someone jabbering, and we can't hear the voice of God because there's too much trash noise. And sometimes the Holy Ghost closes one door because He is preparing to open another door. And you and I, as born-again children of God, we must learn to listen to the voice of God. You ever been walking and maybe you're soul winning? We call it Saturday seed sowing. You're sowing the seeds. And it's like you go to this house and nobody answers, and you know, you put a door hanger on and go to this house, put a door hanger on, go to this house, put a door hanger on. It's just like you're kind of just doing your thing, you know, being faithful. And then like you get to a spot and it's, I don't know if you've ever been there, but the Lord is just like, go knock on that door. That's the house. And lo and behold, like Brother Brad Zabrowski yesterday told me, he went and knocked on a door or went to a house, and he told me yesterday, he said, you know, in my flesh, I really didn't want to do what we did yesterday, but I came and did it anyway. And he said, man, I'm glad I did it because I met this person and this person. And one of them, I believe it was a divine appointment because Brother Brad served in the Marine Corps and this man had been in the military. I don't know what branch of service, but both of them had served and they had something in common that they talked about. And he said they talked for 10 or 15 minutes. You say, what was that? It was God's divine appointment. It's no secret that Brother Brad grabbed that piece of paper over there in building number 2 and went to that particular house. It wasn't his wife and Miss Bree and all the other kids. It was Brother Brad. You say, what was going on? God was doing something behind the scenes, and you got to listen to the voice of God. We don't always know what God's doing, but sometimes that little prompting is the difference between an ordinary afternoon or an ordinary morning and a divine appointment. You got to stay sensitive. Listen. Pay attention. Don't become so busy that you cannot hear God redirecting you. Like that GPS sometimes when you get off track. Recalculating. Recalculating. Turn around. Recalculating. You ever heard the Holy Ghost say that to you? Recalculating. Turn around. Go here. If you're ever walking through Walmart, and you see somebody and you feel impressed to give them money. Now listen, I'm not in myself if that happens, because it doesn't happen a lot. But if it ever happens, I understand it's not me, because I would never do that in my own power. I don't really like people that much, to be honest with you. I like people, but I just, you know, you're just doing your thing. But the truth is, if the Spirit of God ever lays something on your heart, you better listen and you better obey and you better do it, because it's probably not you that's doing it. You say, where'd that thought come from? Has it ever dawned on you that it might be God? So you got to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost. Number 3, you're going to have converts like that. You got to have a burden for the souls of men. Men, women, boys, and girls. Look at verses 9 and 10 of the text. The Bible says, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man, how about that, of Macedonia. And he prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia. Now we got a direction. We got a specific city in a specific place. And we even got a man standing here in our dream saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had opened after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord, they knew it was God. The Lord had called us, not some man, not some preacher, not mom and pop called and papa sent. Amen. The Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Paul did not here come over and build you a big old church. He did not say, come over and build you a big ministry. He heard, come over into Macedonia and help us. Paul's heart was burdened for the souls of men. He was not just looking for preaching opportunities. He wasn't trying to find a meeting to go to. He was looking for people who had a need for Jesus Christ. And you and I tonight, as the East River Baptist Church, as we go out and we, by the way, I'm preaching this on the heels of our Saturday seed sowing, and we're trying to get the thing going a little more and a little more and introduce it to you, getting comfortable doing it together and figuring it all out. Because listen, one thing about it, we don't know what we're doing. We're just trying to do the will of God. Amen? We ain't got really much of a plan. We just, amen, trying to keep our eyes on a man. Amen. And his name's the Lord. He was looking for people who had a need. You see, sometimes when you go to Walmart, you see a cashier, but God sees a soul. When you go out and eat, you see a waitress, but God sees a soul. You might see your neighbor, but God sees a soul. You men that go to prison, you might see a prisoner, but you know who God sees? He sees a soul. He sees a soul that he loved and he died for. You might see a difficult person, but you know who God sees? God sees someone in whom Christ died for, who gave his life on Calvary for. When a, you know, fishermen. Brother Lauren likes to fish. Now, I'm not a huge fisherman, but somebody in here maybe that just don't fish much. When you go to the lake, you know what you see? Water. You know what Brother Lauren sees? Fish. Amen. He knows where the holes are at. He knows where the spots are at. He knows where the crappie are at. He knows where the white bass are at. He knows, amen, maybe wherever even some bass are hanging out. He knows where the catfish are. If you don't believe it, just go with him. He knows where they're at. He can take you where the fish are. And sometimes, you know what? You and I, you know what we need to see? Not just people. A sea of people. But we must see souls and be soul conscious, to have a burden for the souls of men. Number four, you got to be where the people are. I'm talking about if you're going to have converts like Paul had, you got to be where the people are. Look at verse number 13. The Bible says, "And on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and we spake unto the women which resorted thither." You see, Paul went down to the riverside because Paul understood that that was where people gathered together. He did not sit somewhere waiting for lost people to find him. I have to be honest, Brother Kenny, I enjoy living in the country now. You know why? Because there ain't a lot of people. Amen. But you know what the truth is tonight? If you're going to win souls, you got to be where the people are. Paul went where the people were. The jailer was at the prison. You know where Paul was? He was there. The Philippian people were at the riverside. Paul was there. The businesswoman Lydia was there. You know where Paul was? She was there. He was there with her. That possessed girl that was possessed with the devil, you know where Paul was? He was right there where she was. There was no gap between the Apostle Paul and these individuals. Paul was where the people were. And you cannot reach people that you refuse to be around. Now, I know some of us don't like people and we like to be secluded and we like to have our alone time. But you ought to ask yourself, amen, where do people in my town work? Where do they hang out? Where do they eat? Where do they shop? Where do they live? Where do these people struggle? Where do these people... Where's the young people at? Where's the teenagers? Where's the hurting families? Where's the single mamas? Where's the junkies hang out? Amen. Where's the river rats, as we used to say down in southern Oklahoma? Where's the rednecks? Amen. Where's the Hispanics? We found them yesterday, Brother Tony and, amen, Brother Dominique. Man, we sent them back here in Peach Creek, and they had some good divine appointments, and they're excited. Got to speak Spanish and get the gospel to those people. I can't go back there and talk to them. I don't know the language. But they can. It would have done them no good to go walk out in the field somewhere and say, "Lord, God, give us bird for souls. Lord, help us to reach people. Help us to reach the Hispanics. Lord, they're here and you brought them here. And God, Lord, help them." But you know, you can pray all you want to, but you know what you got to do? You got to go where the people are. Amen. You got to go where they're at. Where's the people who need the hope of the gospel? Where are the down and outers? That's what we need to be. Listen, Jesus, many times the Bible said that he went apart and he would go to the country. He would go to a mountain. He would go out into the wilderness. You know why he went there? To fellowship with the Father. He went there to get away for a little bit, to pray and to commune with God and to get refreshed, amen, because he was the God-man. He was the Son of God, but he was the Son of Man. But when Jesus did ministry, you know where he went? He went to the towns. He went to the cities. He went to the villages, because you got to go where the people are. Amen. You got to get out of your comfort zone and talk to people. It's about people. Amen. Doesn't matter what your personality is. If you're going to have converts like that, you're going to have to go where the people are. Number five, you got to be soul conscious. Look at Acts chapter number 16, verse number 27. The Bible says that's in the keeper of the prison awakened out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. Verse 28, but Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? What happened right after the earthquake? Paul immediately recognized the spiritual opportunity. He had his eyes wide open because he was soul conscious. The jailer was about to kill himself over a supposition. I read that today and I'm like, you got to be kidding. He's got his sword out. He's getting ready to commit suicide, Brother James, because he supposed something that wasn't even true. Boy, you got to be careful tonight, amen, with supposition. The Bible says supposing that the prisoners had fled. That's a whole other message within itself. But Paul did not say, well, that's unfortunate. Paul did not, amen, misunderstand. He understood that this man needed some help. He was conscious of a soul that was standing in front of him. He knew that this physical crisis opened the doors, but there was a spiritual opportunity and there was a spiritual conversation that was about to take place. It's like if you go to the doctor and the doctor, you have a fever. You know what the doctor's going to do? He's going to ask you some questions. He's going to try to figure out what's causing it. And a soul-conscious Christian does not stop at the surface of things. He starts digging deeper. Why? Because he's soul-conscious. Trying to get below the surface. Someone says, well, I'm having marriage problems. You know what we hear? I need Jesus. Somebody said, I got a drug problem. You know what we hear? I need Jesus. Someone says, I've got depression issues. You know what we hear? Need Jesus. You got to get below the surface, struggling financially. All of the things that are the surface problems in people's lives, Brother Brock. But you know what really we ought to do as soul-conscious believers? We got to go below the surface and say, hey, I understand these are the problems that are happening on the outside, but what's really going on the inside is that is a soul that needs Jesus Christ. They have financial problems, yes, and they have emotional problems, yes, and they have relational problems, yes, and they have physical problems, yes, but underneath all of those problems, you know what there is? There's a spiritual problem, and it's a soul that needs God. So we got to be soul conscious. Number six, you know what else we got to do? Look at what Paul did. If you're going to have converts like that, not only you got to be soul conscious like Paul was, but number six, look at what Paul did. You got to pray. I told you it wasn't going to be deep. Look at verse number 25. The Bible says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas, what's the first thing they did? They prayed. And they sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Don't miss the order. They prayed. And when they prayed, God began to move. Prayer was not their backup plan. Prayer was not the emergency button that we hit on the backside when everything else has failed. Prayer was their first response. It was the first thing that they did. They did not pray only when they were comfortable. These men were not comfortable. They prayed when they were hurting. They prayed when they were bleeding. They prayed when they were chained. They prayed when they were in prison. They prayed when it looked like nothing was going to happen. They're in prison, locked up, and their prayers, the Bible says, these prayers were heard not only by God, but they were heard by somebody else. There was a hardened Roman jailer, and he was listening. They might not even realize, they weren't praying they weren't like, our Father, Lord, we pray that you get us out of here. God, send an earthquake. They wasn't praying to him, but he heard it. They were talking to God. They prayed, and God was doing something behind the scenes. Somebody might hear your prayer before they ever hear my preaching, or pastor's preaching, or any other preacher's preaching. Because prayer, amen, your prayer life may be the thing that is preparing the soil in their heart before the witness ever plants the seeds in their heart. You see, prayer is not, we don't make much of prayer sometimes, do we? We got a pastor that prays, and we have a praying church, but sometimes I don't think we realize the need and the power of prayer. Before a farmer ever sees a harvest, there's work happening under the ground. That's what prayer is. Prayer is often the unseen work behind the visible harvest. We preach and thank God for people. When you bring people, Brother Justin had some visitors here this morning, and man, we tried to preach and I prayed, amen. But ultimately, when God does something, we see it on the outside. We see the physical. We see the response. We see the tears. But I tell you, the truth is, amen, we see it at the latter end. We see it when the harvest is coming and the fruit is big and it's growing and it's popping out of the ground. But I tell you, there's a whole lot that goes on underneath that we cannot see through the power of prayer. Prayer is often the unseen work behind the visible harvest. We see the convert, but God sees all the prayers that preceded the convert. The things that happened before the visible, the outward. And it's no secret tonight that the secret behind a good church are prayer warriors. Would you not agree with me tonight that that's the secret? If we have a good service, man, sometimes, you know, God will touch the preaching and He'll touch the singing and He'll touch a special and He'll touch the orchestra. If we're not careful in our flesh, we'll say, man, that was pretty good. Maybe you've never felt like that, but I'm telling you, that's just human nature sometimes. People, you know, say, that was a good sermon, that was a good song, it was a good service, it was a good Sunday. You say, yeah, man, we prepared. You know, we gave it our all. But the truth is, the reason why God gives us a good message and a good sermon and a good song and a good Sunday morning and a good Sunday night and a good Saturday seed sowing is because there's some Brother Brocks that cannot do much. But what he can do is say, Father, help that preacher. Lord, help those soul winners. God, touch that singer. You see, we don't see that or we don't hear it. But that's the secret. Somebody, every great move of God can be traced back to a kneeling figure. Somebody who prayed. If you're going to have converts like that, you've got to pray. Number seven, if you're going to have converts like Paul had, don't get sidetracked. Look at verse number 26 of the text. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosened. The keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. The earthquake opened every door. The chains had fallen off. The prisoners could leave now, but Paul did not get distracted by his own opportunity. You know what Paul did? Paul noticed the jailer. That is a powerful thing in the text, because he was not focusing on himself, self-preservation. God just broke him out of prison. God just, amen, answered their prayer and had intervened. But Paul did not notice what had happened to himself. Paul noticed there was a jailer. Paul could have thought, I'm free now. Man, let's get out of here, Silas. Let's go. Let's go preach the gospel. God done heard our prayers and busted us out of here, amen. But you know what he thought? Paul thought, there's a soul in trouble. There's a jailer that has a need. The miracle wasn't just that the doors opened. The miracle was that Paul knew why the doors had opened. He knew that God was about to do something in this man's life that only God could do. Amen. And sometimes God opens the door for us because He wants us to walk through it. But then sometimes God opens the door not only so that we can walk through it, but so that somebody else can walk through it. God opened those doors not so that Paul could walk through and get out and escape free, but Paul understood that God had opened those doors because there was a man in need of the gospel. And Paul didn't want to miss the man because he was celebrating the miracle of the answered prayer. He didn't want to miss the opportunity to get the gospel to this man. You say, what's going on? He didn't get sidetracked. And sometimes it's so easy to miss and focus upon the circumstances of life that we miss the souls of men. How many times are we at a gas pump and, man, we barely made it in there, you know, because you were on E with the light on, you know, running on fumes and faith, amen? Man, you get in there, you get out, you know, and you're pumping your gas and the kids are back here and they're crying, they're jumping around in the seats, you know, and you're looking at your watch trying to get home, and on the other side of the pump, somebody's standing there and maybe they're like this man, they're getting ready to kill themselves. Or maybe it's a woman and her husband left her. Maybe it's a single mom that's trying to figure out how she's going to pay for that tank of gas and get her children some food. And here we are, we're standing here and we're so focused upon us and we get sidetracked and we miss the opportunity on the other side of the pump. Do you see what I'm saying tonight? Paul didn't miss the opportunity because he got sidetracked. Number eight, be willing to do whatever it takes to reach that soul. Look at verse number 28 of the text. Look at what the Bible says here. Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light, sprang in, and came trembling and fell down before Paul, and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Paul was asking the right questions. He was in the right place because he was in the will of God. And Paul was willing to risk his own safety to save this jailer's life. Because he cried there in the text, do thyself no harm, for we are all... Now that's amazing to me. I don't know, so you guys that go to prison, if that thing busted wide open, all them prison doors open, amen, I guarantee it'd be a big old jailbreak, wouldn't it? But Paul didn't just say, me and Silas are here. He said, we all here. So don't do no harm, amen? That's the miracle. The miracle that he was willing to do whatever it took. Do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Paul didn't know what that man was going to do with the gospel. He didn't know if that man was going to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't know what was going to happen next, but he was willing to intervene. You know what soul work, this sowing of the seed, this soul winning, it requires some inconveniences in our life. It's never going to be convenient to win souls, to be soul conscious, to work with the souls of men. And we must get back to having confidence. The confidence, Brother Terry, and the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is still the power of God. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. It's still the power of God. And sometimes you got to inconvenience yourself and believe that God is going to do something that you cannot do. Us preachers, when we stand up and preach, I'm not a good preacher. I hear preaching all the time. I'm thinking, man, that guy can preach 10 times better than I can. And I hear pastors sometimes. I told Brother Jason the other day, I said, man, pastor sets the bar awful high. I can't get up there. But you know what I can do? I can have confidence in the power of the gospel that I preach. Amen. And tonight, if you're here and you're lost without Jesus Christ, I might not be the best preacher in the world. I might not be able to talk you into anything. Amen. By the way, I'm not trying to talk you into anything, because anything I can talk you into, somebody else can talk you out of. But I do believe, amen, there's a God in heaven that loved you and died for you, and the gospel is still the power of God. And if you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I still believe tonight that before you leave, you can come down here to an old-fashioned altar, bow down on your knees, amen, before a thrice holy God, and give your heart to Jesus Christ, and He will save you today. He will keep you safe forever. Amen. He'll change your life forevermore. You say, what is that? That's the power of the gospel. Still the power of God tonight. Oh, thank God for it. But you got to inconvenience yourself. Stop what you're doing. You got to change your schedule sometimes and make a phone call and knock on a door. Sit down with somebody. Listen to somebody. Give somebody a ride. Invite somebody to church. Hand out a gospel tract. Answer somebody's question. Tell your personal testimony. Open your Bible up and stay a little longer when you feel like going home and getting you some ice cream and a cup of iced tea, amen, or some ice water. Sitting back in your lazy boy and somebody says, I got to talk to you. You got to inconvenience yourself. Sacrifice some sleep. Spend your own money. The question isn't what's convenient. The question tonight is what will help me get the gospel to that person. And that person. And that person. And that person. To get the gospel to the world, to Bolivia, it ain't easy. It's inconvenient. You don't think Miss Brooke sometimes wouldn't like to live in Texas where there's AC everywhere and fast food? In a church family, but you know why she went with her husband? And she's down there serving the Lord, and Brother Kenneth's down there. It's not because it's easy. It's not because it's glamorous. I'll tell you why. Because there's souls in Bolivia that won't get born again unless they go and tell them about Jesus Christ. Oh, listen tonight. You got to inconvenience yourself. Number nine, you know what else you got to have? You got to have a good spirit. If you're going to have a conference like that. I only got 10 points. This is my last two. Have a good spirit. Verse number 25. Look at what happened here. The Bible says, Paul has been beaten. Paul has been thrust in the inner prison. His feet are in stocks. He's having a real bad day. A bad day. He's been beat. Not just like spanked with a belt. I'm talking about beat. Stripes on his back. Blood everywhere. In verse number 25, the Bible says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. And they sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. I don't know what he prayed. I don't know what he sang. But the Bible says here that they sang and they prayed, and these men had a good spirit. You say, what does it matter? It matters a whole lot, but the Bible says the prisoners heard them. They heard when you complain. They hear when you bellyache. They hear, amen, when you talk bad about the church and bad about the preacher and bad about whatever. Amen. But you know what they do else they hear? They hear that no matter what you're going through, sometimes you look at people and you say, man, how does that person with so much loss and so much heartache and so much hurt and so much betrayal, how do they still have such a good spirit? Paul and Silas were singing in the prison. The prisoners heard them. People were listening. Sometimes we don't even realize they're listening. But your attitude is preaching a message to a lost and dying world before your mouth ever opens and they hear your voice. Your attitude is saying things. Your face breaks out in words. Amen. Your spirit, your co-workers hear it, your children hear it, your neighbors hear it. That unsaved person sitting beside you hears it. And the jailer didn't just hear Paul's message. He saw Paul's genuine Christianity. And he heard his voice. And he could sense his good spirit. And the gospel was demonstrated before it was ever preached in verse number 30 and 31. It was demonstrated. He knew that there was something different. Because he could see and he sensed the spirit of these men. Listen, a billboard doesn't have to chase anybody down. It just simply stands there and people see it, right? They just walk by and they see it. And you and I tonight, our lives are billboards. That's what Paul said to the church at Corinth. Listen to this. Listen to what Paul said to the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 2. He said, ye are our epistle. Written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifest declared to be the epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. The question is tonight, what are people reading on you? If you're always complaining and arguing and criticizing and angry, what does that tell people at your work and tell people that you live next to about your God and about your gospel? We all go through difficulties, but may we be gracious under pressure, forgiving when we are mistreated and hopeful when life hurts. And you say, what happens when that starts happening in my life? People will start asking, what's different about you? What do you got that I don't have? And suddenly we get this opportunity to tell them, let me tell you about my Jesus. Let me tell you what He did for me. Because your spirit sings praises and it prays, and the prisoners heard them. And then number 10, and I'm done. How to have converts like this. Look for divine appointments. Look at Acts chapter 16 and verse number 30. It's the last time we'll read it. We've read it several times. The Bible says, and He brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? This was not an accident. Paul was not randomly in Philippi. Paul was not randomly in prison. The earthquake was not a random catastrophic event. The jailer's crisis was not random. Paul's presence there was not random. God, as you could see at the beginning of the chapter, was arranging this divine appointment. And sometimes we call something a coincidence, don't we? We say, well, that was just a coincidence. But if you call it a coincidence, you're probably not paying attention. I don't know who said it. I heard Brother Bill Grady say it years ago. He says, a coincidence is God's way of remaining anonymous. That's a good statement, amen? But a spirit-sensitive child of God learns that maybe God put me here for this person and for this reason and for this event. Don't miss the appointment, the divine appointment that God has for you. God may put you in the path of somebody that needs what you have. It's no coincidence. Do you know why you're here tonight? You're here because God brought you here. And if we were to start over here with Brother Kyle, Brother Kyle met a man, by the name of Ed Tierbach. Divine appointment. And now here he is tonight, the pastor's son-in-law, on the front row at the house of God. You say, why? Because there was a man that wasn't just wasting time randomly serving the Lord, but he knew that he had a divine appointment. And Brother Ed kept at him, and kept at him, kept at him, because he's a hard head. Amen, sister. God was a chipping away at that hard heart. Even those of us that are here tonight and we're children of God, I was saved before I got here. But if I look back and I see all the things that were happening and the heartache and the hurt and the people and the betrayals and everything that's going on, you say, what's going on? There's a divine appointment. It was no coincidence that all those years ago that Brother Ron Ralph invited me to come to his pastor school by invite only. And I was such a hard-headed young preacher, arrogant. God, my wife sometimes says, boy, whatever God's trying to teach you, I wish you'd hurry up and pass this test, amen, because you keep got to retake it, amen. Got to knock all that out of me. And I was going to go to the pastor's school, and for reasons in my own heart, I didn't even go. Just stupidity, brother. I want to tell the full story, but I can't because I'm so ashamed of it. I didn't go. But God gave me another chance, and Brother Ron invited me again, and was there in my life, man. I was just trying to figure out, Lord, what are you doing and where do you want me to land? because the Green family are in a mess. And to be honest with you, I was thinking, Lord, if you don't do something, we're the kind of family that used to serve the Lord. And I don't know where I'd be tonight if God had not orchestrated some divine appointments and put some people in our life so we could land here at this place. And God, let me meet Pastor Hoots. I'd already obviously met him, been here before. And I asked him before, and I haven't even asked him. In the past, he'd have me preach here, and I thought, you know, there's a church full of preachers over there where we were at. Why is I the only one you invited to come over here and preach when you're out of town? Or he had his heart attack, open heart surgery, you know? And I look back at it, and it's just divine appointment. God knew that what he was going to do years down the road. And us meeting the church family and just all the pieces. I mean, it's too big in my mind to put it all together. And we look at these things and we say, man, only God can do that. Do you know why you're here tonight? Because God wants you to be here. Brother John, I look at you and your life and your faithfulness all these years. Miss Virginia. And I don't know how many of y'all back there belongs to them, but I know this. It ain't no coincidence y'all are here tonight. Y'all are here because there's a God in heaven that heard a mama's prayers and a daddy's prayers. And he's interested in you, just like he's interested in me. God's working and he's moving. And if we're going to have some Philippian jailers tonight, some divine appointments, some Holy Ghost encounters, we're going to have to do what Paul did. Would you not agree with that? The question that he said is, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And Paul didn't give him a big long thesis. He didn't complicate it. He said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? How do I go to heaven when I die? And he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Paul didn't merely get the jailer interested. You know what he did? Gave him the gospel. He didn't just simply improve his circumstances and say, don't put your sword up, don't kill yourself, it's going to be okay. It wasn't going to be okay. The old boy was going to hell when he died. And it's not going to be okay for you if you improve your life and start coming to this church and start cleaning up some things and stop drinking and stop smoking and whatever else you're doing that you know you're not supposed to be doing. You can clean all that up, go to hell sober. If you bypass Calvary, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Some more I could say tonight, but I believe the Lord's done, and I believe the Lord's working on some hearts here tonight. I wasn't going to give an invitation, but I believe we need to tonight. I'm going to ask Miss Christie to come to the piano. We're not going to draw it out. We're not going to sing 15 verses of Just As I Am. God spoke to your heart tonight. You know what to do. You know what to do. Just do it. Amen. Whatever God told you to do tonight, do it. Child of God, if you want to be a better soul winner, you want God to use you to win more people, you know where the altar's at. You know where the foot of the cross is. Get down and talk to God about it. Say, Lord, I hadn't been a real good Christian. I hadn't been a real good soul warner and a soul winner, but I want to be. Maybe you can take some of these things and implement them into your life. And tonight, if you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you know what to do. Swallow your pride. Stop worrying about what everybody's going to think. And tonight, come down here. Repent of your sins and put your faith and trust in the finished work of Calvary. I'll say to you what the Apostle Paul said to the Philippian jailer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Father, Lord, I believe the Holy Ghost is speaking to hearts tonight. And Lord, I've done my best to preach what you put on my heart. But God, you got to do what only you can do. Father, help us to draw near to the cross, make a difference in a lost and dying world. Father, we'll thank you for what you're going to do in advance. In Jesus' name, amen.